Come on, then! The doctor will see you now!
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. We have Eric.
Hey.
And we have Will. Will, welcome back.
Hello, hello. Nice to be here.
And Michael Hinman from Airlock Alpha.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Ah, we are awesome. Now, Michael, you have the Alpha Waves podcast as well. I just want to mention that if guys didn't know about that at all. Could you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's just basically something we do on Blog Talk Radio. It's something we started as a live show a couple years ago as Sci-Fi Radio, and it's kind of evolved over time, and late last year it became a podcast. So we come on twice a month, and we try to make it guest-centric, so we try to bring in actors or writers or fun people in fandom is pretty much how we're doing it right now.
That's cool. And Airlock Alpha, tell us a little bit about that. I know if you're really old school, you know that used to be Sci-Fi Portal. And give us a little bit about that, just so people know.
Well, you mean about the site itself? Or?
Yeah, just, you know, it's just a science fiction site where you do stuff, right?
Yeah,
you know, you have breaking news and all sorts of good stuff. We always retweet you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we do a lot of news. We've been around we're in our 12th year. We were Sci-Fi Portal for the longest time, and we sold that to NBC, and they named the network after it. So, so we changed our name a little over a year ago to Airlock Alpha, and we've been doing really good. We concentrate mostly on television and movies, and it's part of a group of sites. We have two others, and a fourth one in the works.
Okay. Cool.
Cool.
All right, we will link to that. But today, what we really, really want to talk about today is, Eric, why don't you tell us?
It's a little show out of England, Doctor Who. It's come back. It's returned.
I've never heard of this show. What's the show about again?
Yeah, new Doctor.
Crazy Guy with a Box. I remember that.
31st season, however you want to look at it. And it aired last night in England, and it's kind of a big deal.
Just kind of?
Hey, Eric?
Kind of, yes. Eric? Yes.
Cue the theme song.
Excited about this Doctor. Let's go with Michael first.
Well, you know, I was a little, I think that when you approach something new on any show, and especially a new lead actor, is that there's always going to be some trepidation going into it. And I have to say that there was a lot on my part, especially even after New Year's Day when we saw, what, like 30 seconds of Matt Smith. I guess that I really wasn't all convinced that he was Doctor-like. But then I thought about it, and I thought the exact same thing when Chris Eccleston turned into David Tennant. So,
okay.
But
do you like him or no?
No, I mean, now after the first episode, I have to say he's very Doctor-like. He has much more. I mean, David Tennant has a lot of energy in the role, but Matt Smith also seems to bring some youth to the role that I think that is something that's kind of missing in the fun jump behind the sofa aspect of Doctor Who that we really haven't had too much. You know, I think Russell T. Davies was amazing for bringing the show back, but I think it's even better now that the show's back. We don't need to keep doing all of this over the top stuff that we've been doing, where these big grandiose, let's put a big, you know, let's move the Earth, you know, thousands of light years,
God,
or let's put Gallifrey in the sky, you know, dwarfing Earth and all that stuff. I like that we're going back to the very simple things and like in this aspect of it, where it's just a simple crack in the wall and just what it does.
Thank you. I could not agree more with all of that. I could not agree.
Yes, me too.
Eric, why don't you chime in about, because I know you're going to lay it on thick, because I know how much
I love this guy. I love this guy. I love him.
Is this man love we're talking about?
Wow. I've been on the record. I've been saying this over and over again. The last time I was excited watching a new episode, we'd have to go back to 2008, and the episode Turn Left was the last episode that I thoroughly enjoyed. And since then, it's been all different kinds of mediocre for me.
Oh, wow.
And with everything that we've seen since after Turn Left. And
what was that one about?
That was the one where Donna got, like, there was the fortune teller, and she got the spider on her back.
Okay, okay,
and then she,
okay,
like, relived all this alt-world stuff. That was right before the conclusion of Series 4. Anyway, and, you know, I thought we were going to get so much more out of the special year. And, I mean, I got myself excited for Waters of Mars at the end of time. And it was just, we've already been there. And but at this point, coming into the new show, I just put all my chips in one bag and said, this is it. I'm putting it all into this. I saw the trailers and all the everything, the media blitz, and I was all in for this. Something about Matt Smith, I already thought I loved him before we saw this episode. I put all my chips in one bag and I just went for it. And as soon as it started, I was about 5 minutes in and I was already hooked. And it was just, for me, it was a beautiful ride. The whole episode was fantastic. I loved it. I was so happy the whole way. Not just because of the story, not just because of the acting, not just because of any, just because I said, oh, thank you. We're back. We're back. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. This is great. It's been so long.
Wow.
So wonderful.
Okay, Will, can you match that?
maybe. No, I've been watching Matt Smith, and I've been having a conversation with my other friends and going, well, what do you think of him? What's your opinion? I'm like, oh, he's young and he should be older, and oh, he's not really, you know, he's not like the other guys, and but he's kind of, but you know, that kind of thing. And we've been guardedly optimistic. And then I saw the opening sequence where he's hanging out of the TARDIS door.
Yes.
With the sonic screwdriver in his mouth. And I said, oh, this looks interesting. I think this could be good. And then I saw the you know, diving into the TARDIS and, you know, him using the phrase, which we're not saying around here now.
Geronimo!
No! Ugh, okay.
I'm okay with it.
It made more sense this time.
It did. I wasn't that annoyed by Geronimo.
Yeah, me neither. It might grow on me, but
he's not saying who to man. He got over that.
Yeah, right. I said no. I'm never gonna say that again. I like that, but I liked the character. I liked how he played it. I liked the whole thing. Then I saw the Doctor Who Confidential. And I have this statement to make about Matt Smith. He is the Doctor, and B, he is a madman in a box.
Nice.
That he's crazy. He's insane. He's the kind of actor who he's not totally committed to the part to the extent that he has no idea where he is or who anybody is or you know, any of that. He's not a method actor in that respect. But he's the kind of a guy that showed him with the director of the episode going, well, what if I did this? Maybe if I did the delivery like this. Oh, no, I'm going to go in this direction, and I'm going to go that way.
So
does that look good? Maybe I should go like this.
An actor?
He's not sporadic, but he's the kind of guy he goes, well, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do – what if – he's – so much of the part is how he reacts to things and how
–
how Moffat, I think he writes a very logical, very straightforward kind of a script. And it gives him that. But in reading the dialogue and in should I go this way, should I go that way, when he has a question, he asks people around him. They showed him with the small girl who played Amy. Emily? No, Amy.
Her first name was
Amy. Emily. Anyways, so the little girl. And he's talking to the little girl, and they see him, show him at the table reading, and he starts doing, you know, this little business he has to do. He starts leaning over his co-star, you know, and looking at the little girl and doing things and touching her arms and everything. So he's like three quarters of the way out of his chair leaning over the conference table and giving his lines, but giving them perfectly. So he's amazing.
Okay.
Because he has that power and that majesty, and I really, 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 really dig him.
Okay, well, good.
And this would be considered a man crush. Yes.
Okay. I think there's a lot of man crush going on here.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Michael, what do you think about the story, this first story? One of you guys said, it was a simple story, but did it deliver? Was it too easy? Was it a good backstory for the Emily, Amy? How did you feel about that?
Well, you know, I thought what was really interesting is that we got a little bit of the touch of, you know, the girl in the fireplace episode.
Yes.
From a few seasons back. And I like that. I like that idea that this is a companion that had a really interesting backstory. It wasn't like, oh, I just met you in the basement of a retail store or,
yeah.
You know, or hey, look, I'm in this hospital and here you are. It was in a way a random encounter, but still one that was fun and interesting, and it gave us a little bit of backstory on Amy really early on, and I like her. I really mm-hmm. I mean, I was laughing a few times. My biggest fear, by the way, going in was that with the change of the guard, the change of everybody, I mean, it's like a whole new crew and a whole new cast on the show now. Mm-hmm. I was so worried that they were going to toss away the last 5 years. And we all might have complaints about the last 5 years, but the thing is that there are still some amazing moments and, you know, just some amazing movement in the franchise. And I was really happy toward the end when they, you know, when they actually paid homage to the past shows and the past Doctors.
Yeah.
And to me, that was a great introduction. And to have, you know, Matt Smith step through the mist and, you know, be all dressed, even though I'm still not sure about that costume, but he stepped through all dressed that. Then he was the doctor. I loved it. I thought it was great.
I thought at David and Indy on Twitter said he had me at basically run. That was just, you know, he really manned up. He really was the doctor. You don't want to mess with him. You don't fear him. Because, you know, to me, he was kind of slapstick. And I'm not that fond of slapstick humor, but he had sort of an awkward elegance to him. So I could stand it, you know, to the point to where when he does get serious, you don't want to mess with him because he's going to, you know, he's going to hand you your ass, basically. So that's kind of what I liked about him. Eric, this story, what are you thinking?
Well, I thought it was great. I thought it was great. I know some people reacted on Twitter and said, you know, best episode ever. And I was like, whoa, okay. Well, I'm super happy right now. Let's not get hasty, all right? I won't say best episode ever, but I thought about it a little bit further, and I could say probably best new companion introduction ever, new doctor's first adventure story ever, like for a new doctor, probably the best, because you don't usually get such a quality story right out of the gate. You know, usually the doctor has to warm up, the actor and everybody has to warm up a bit.
Well, they did him out of order with this, right? He did his first episode 4 episodes ago, and then they went back, looped around, and did.
Right, and that's been done before in Classic Who as well. But still, even though it's done, look at the first stories, and there's been some good ones and there's been some bad ones, but none that you would say, oh, this is one of the best. So this one. It really sticks out because you don't get such a strong story usually, not just for a doctor's first story, but also for an opener for a season. Yeah, they try to make them exciting, but they don't. But you don't go, wow, this was a damn quality episode. Wow, and I think it was damn quality even with Stephen Moffat still saving it. You know what I mean?
What does that mean?
Meaning he's holding back at this point. He's not. He's not letting loose at all yet with his ideas. You know what I'm saying? In mm-hmm, other words, mm-hmm. he's still holding back his punches, and yet we're this entertained already. And I know
I think there was a little bit of excitement and anticipation in that, though.
Right.
To get pumped up, because I mean, you know, I don't you were really excited, very excited. And I think you're like riding off of, you know, a high right now.
Yes,
and,
but what I'm saying is, because Stephen Moffat wrote, I don't know, what, 6 stories out of the coming 13? Well, one being the one we just watched, so he has like mm-hmm. 5 more or something.
Right, right.
And I think he's saving it. He's got much more left, and he's just giving this little bit, and it's been this entertaining, and I think the bar is going to get raised much higher in weeks to come, so I'm super excited about that. But just concentrating on this one story, I think it was really good because he took elements from that RTD had done. He took like the good parts of RTD and didn't discard them. He kept them because there was certain things that you go, oh, that, yeah, that I was like, that's totally RTD's like trademark, you know, the moon.
What was
like moon and the earth in the beginning? Like every season has started like that. Every new companion episode has started like that. Little things. So it was earth. So it was
what?
No, just the opening shot. The opening shot shows the moon in space. And then it moves down.
Who moved the Earth? I missed that.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
No, he didn't. The doctor did in the end there when he's taking off the clothes. Never mind.
But yeah, but there was familiar. And of course, Murray Gold is still there to hold our hand with the music. So we're familiar with him already. But so
the
he
music
took.
Music didn't distract me this.
He took the good things from RTD. And then he reiterated a lot of things that we enjoy about his stories. Because, again, he used the Madame de Pompadour, Girl in the Fireplace motif, which was fine. That was great. But he also, he always has like a, all his creatures or baddies, first of all, they're all creepy in all his stories, including this one. And secondly, he always gives a little, every baddie of his has like a catchphrase or a trademark for us to remember them by, for like little kids to think about when they play in the playground. And in this one, it was the corner of your eye. You know,
oh, yes, because that's like the
don't blink.
That's exactly what I thought about.
Don't step in the no, stay out of the shadows. Are you?
Yeah,
my
I was gonna
mommy?
Say even the one in the library. Yeah,
yeah. Every single one of his stories, there's always a little trademark, a little catch, and it was just and so he combined his best parts with RTD, and it was a great story. It was simple, not too overblown. Yes, he saved the Earth again, but it wasn't like what Michael was saying earlier. You know, we don't need the transporting the Earth and all that crazy bit. It was still a because they were in a village for one thing and not in London. I thought that was welcome, you know, that was very comforting as well, that she lives in a small village and it's just contained and everybody knows everybody. You know, we don't always have to be in London, you know, all the time. So it was a great good contained story, and I think as enjoyable as it was, there's gonna be much more epic things to come.
Okay. Will, our first companion has been in psychiatric care. She is it would be insulting to say she's a prostitute, but she does get paid to kiss guys. She has long red dragon lady fingernails, which I enjoy. I noticed.
Oh, I did notice that. Polish.
Yeah. When you first saw her, did you actually think she was a police officer, or did you think something was wrong with something?
I'd heard a few things.
So you didn't have a Mike? Did you hear about the police? Were you? Did you think she was a police officer, or did you just feel like something was off?
Well, you know, when I first saw her, I thought she was a police officer. But then when the camera kind of panned down and she was wearing a skirt, then I'm like, wait a minute. You know, that just seems kind of, you know, even in England, I think that might be a little too much to wear. You know, out on the force. So
you know,
I started thinking that
me?
Might have been a costume.
Yeah,
you know what got me about the costume was it wasn't the skirt so much
stockings.
as the stockings with,
the line down the back.
Yeah, the line down the back. Yeah,
that's when I knew. I was like, now wait a second.
Yeah, that's a little too much.
I was like, that skirt is a little short and it's a little tight. But she also, I was like, oh, they're gonna start it like Torchwood, where she's a police officer like Gwen. But
yeah, well, I don't know. See, was this the best episode ever?
Oh. We don't have to go there.
I don't necessarily. We may look back on it, but we may be too close to it. You know what I mean? But I have to say, I enjoy Stephen Moffat's work, with a possible exception of Coupling. But I love all the rest of the stuff he's done. I love all the stuff he's done for Doctor Who. I'm a big fan of Jekyll If anyone saw
Jack so a few good.
Years ago.
So
oh, good. That was good. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And that had things in it which were from the past that were, you know, from the past, from the future. We didn't know what was going on. It was a really, really, really good show. And it didn't. And my favorite part about it was didn't explain everything, which is the best part.
So but you think we're going to get some of that in Doctor Who?
I think so, which Exactly. Stephen Moffat just does amazing things, which is what I really like. And hopefully with Matt Smith, the two of them will be able to work together and do that. But it's from – if you watch the coming soon, you know, at the end, there's – amazing stuff like that or at the end of the episode when they had the scan of the doctor and the threats to humanity came up on there, and they showed a Dalek, they showed the Cybermen, they mm-hmm. showed the Silurians, they showed the sea monsters. Oh, wonder if those guys are coming back, you know, stuff like that. And it was just like, oh, this is going to be very cool. And then in the end credits, or not the credits, but the coming soon, where they were showing, you know.
Oh, yes. Say,
you know what really turns me on? Spitfires in space shooting lasers at spaceships. This really gets me. I'm like, yes, let's do that. Let's do some more of that. I love Spitfire. Big Spitfire fan. But it's and there's a lot to get through. There's the whole regeneration of the TARDIS. There was the, you know, let's get rid of every trope he ever had. Let's destroy the sonic screwdriver. And
just what do you think about that? I think they changed the sonic screwdriver is green now, and it's kind of like the switch between Luke Skywalker's lightsabers, where he was. Blue,
really?
Point, and then green, and what is that? Return or something? Or
yeah,
I forget.
Yeah, because he replaced his old saber with a new one. Yeah.
Would you say
by building it?
Yeah, that's right. You had it right because he lost it when he lost his hand in Empire, and yes. So he made his new one for Return of the Jedi. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I got it right. Yeah. What do you think about that? Does that? I mean, of course, that means that we have to go to Think Geek and buy a new sonic screwdriver. Well, see, I have mine right now, and I got damn, I need a green one now.
I'm perfectly fine with it because again, this is the classic series was no different. These things mm-hmm. would happen, and it would be just almost as dramatic as this. Like, except there was probably even less explanation in the classic series. You would just show up in a new episode and go. Wow, the TARDIS interior is completely different, but we're not even gonna acknowledge it. You know, we're just gonna pretend like we knew it was gonna be different, or the doctor will have a completely different looking screwdriver, and just like, yeah, whatever. So this time in this episode, it was actually, you know, all story relevant. It was actually tied into the story for once, but it was great and it was good. And this is normal because Doctor Who has had many producers over the classic series, and each producer would definitely bring in. His style and his way of doing things and his people. So, see, I'm totally fine with it. Now, I'm sure it's totally different for those who have only, especially, yeah, the younger fans with the new series, because this is definitely most jarring.
When you talk about the change of the TARDIS or what?
But, I mean, to have so many multiple changes at once.
Oh, okay.
Because they're not used to it.
I mean, if you're going to change one thing and you're going to go big, you may as well go the whole way, which is...
You had a one change of Doctor, but it was still the same producer running the show. But now we've really changed it up. I mean, like for instance, like I like the new theme music and the new. I know that there's mixed reviews out there in the Twitterverse, but I like it. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, some people were complaining about the Time Vortex having clouds and lightning. Mike, what do you think, Michael? What do you think about the new Time Vortex? Did it bother you? The new opening? Did you like the music? Did you notice it?
Well, you know, I guess the one thing I'm happy about is that the rumors that were going around that they were going to put the doctor's face in the opening credits didn't happen.
That would have been so funny. That would have been so funny.
I don't know why I was so worried about it, but I guess because you just sit there and you watch some of the old openings for Doctor Who, and they always had like Tom Baker's face in there or some other, you know, was it Peter Davison's face being made by the stars? And it was just so like. I was so worried, especially when I saw Fringe last week and they did that 1980s opening.
That
and
I'm awesome, like,
that was cool. That was amazing.
I know. But I sat and I loved it, but I was sitting there worried, like, oh my God, the new Doctor Who opening could be like this. You know, that's just
Hey, I would love it if they did. Oh, you know, maybe just for
cheesy
one.
Cheesy synth.
One episode.
I don't think
yeah,
so.
That. Oh, that would be. Oh, don't
One episode, hey, maybe, like, you know, a whole whole season of Fringe without opening would have sucked.
I would love if they made a brand new, but it would be like billed as like the lost Doctor Who episode, like, that we never saw. I would I just love if they did a one off like that. That would be so fan squeetastic.
That'd be a cool storyline too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Really? Oh my. Well, maybe we could figure out how the change between Christopher Eccleston and the other doctor, maybe that'll be something like that.
Yeah,
that was taking place around the 80s, right? Maybe, no.
It's well, 90s, just before, actually. But,
yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. It was. It's always good to see Paul McGann. And like I said, with the montage with all the old doctors.
I screamed at Christopher Eccleston.
Oh, man.
That's my man.
That whole thing got me so excited.
I was shocked to see Tennant's face in there. It's like, oh, they kind of processed the images, so they look kind of old and kind of, you know, like degraded. And then his image comes up, and it's like old and degraded. I'm like, oh my god,
that's because the aliens.
That was 3 months ago. What's going on here?
That was just yesterday for the guy. That was the same day actually for him, right, Eric?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, for the doctor, yes, but I'm still. I mean. I don't know what year we're in right now in the episode. Is it 2010? I have no idea. It's somewhere close to 2010, but I'm not exactly sure.
Because he was there, and then he went
but
back.
But hey, yeah, but they could have got footage from Tenet, you know. I don't know. It's not important. It could have taken it from any moment. But that's
it just shocked me. It shocked me to see that, though. You know what I mean?
It would have been more shocking to not see it.
Yeah, but I think Tenet's does look different from all the other ones, but I think it's because they wanted a direct front view of him just so Matt Smith could walk through it.
I think that was
exactly.
Yeah, that was definitely I think what they were trying to achieve, is that you have that direct shot and then he walks through it with his face and it kind of like you just kind of merge into that. I think it was definitely
hello, you know, I'm the doctor. Yes. Yeah, it was. Once again, Moffat, he's able to use these simple human everyday phrases and turn them into something chilling and really powerful. You know what I mean? It's like that phrase, or in the library when the person gets the phrase, what was it? You know, something about ice cream. And it's in there, and they're going, oh, I want some ice cream. Oh, I want some ice cream. And then you realize that the reason that they're doing that is that's the last thought that's stuck in the repeater. And it just keeps repeating like that. And it goes from, oh, that's some ice. Oh, wait, no, you can't have ice cream, no. You know, because it's creepy, you know. And that's, again, that's his skill. That's something that he does to the series very, very well. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for.
So what did y'all think about the Raggedy Doctor comics that Amy drew or anything like that? I thought that was kind of cute. Cute
way to cope. Yeah, I did.
No, I thought actually very, very significant because it works on multiple levels. I thought about this a lot, actually. Because this is kind of important. It works on two levels. It works in the context of the story and the Doctor Who world, and it also works in the context of the real world. Because in the context of the story, it shows, again, this is such a unique companion. Some people are complaining like, oh, really? Another young companion? Another young pretty?
She kind of reminds me of a younger Donna. She's feisty like her. She's bold like her.
And I love how they say, what? What? Like, how many times? But reminding me of Donna. But
so did Doctor. He said that as well when he figured out.
Okay. But I think a thing that people still haven't come to terms with, because it's such a new concept, is though she may seem familiar in different ways, Amy, this is the first companion. She's been pining over the Doctor for 12, 14 years.
Pining? We're going to go with pining.
I mean, it's a very interesting thing that we're going to see play out in the series. And so seeing her little crafts and things, it partially shows her obsession, of course, for the Doctor, and you know, showing how much, you know, this weird, crazy childhood connection she has to him. But on the other hand, on the other side of it, something I've become much, much more familiar with now, like going to Doctor Who conventions and everything, the fans, the big-time Doctor Who fans, creativity of any sort is such a huge thing. I know it's a huge thing in all sci-fi fandom, and it's especially huge in Doctor Who fandom, with whether it's drawing pictures or painting or making costumes or making little figurines or dolls. Like, I just know every fan
fiction, songs,
all of it. Exactly. Every fan girl out there just completely squeed. I heard it. Unbelievably. They saw that. Okay, and not only does it work, not only is it a nod to the fans who create all this neat stuff on their own time, but it shows that Amy as a companion is actually a squeeing fangirl of the Doctor herself. As she is, because that's what the companion's always supposed to represent in Doctor Who in general. That is supposed to be our way, as the audience, our way to look into the Doctor's world and his crazy travels. She's our point of reference as being like a contemporary human. Mm-hmm. But not only that, but she represents us or the crazy fans. She's a crazy fan who got a golden ticket to go with a Doctor who she already knows and loves. And so we're just all along for the ride with her. And it's just such a perfect marriage. Because especially if you look back at past companions, and especially in the classic series, there is your fair share of companions who aren't necessarily always so happy to be with the Doctor. They're so like, oh, really? Do we have to go to another planet? Do we have to see the Daleks again? It's like, really? You don't want to be here?
Yeah, no, you put me in danger, this, that, the other. Yeah, you're right on that.
There are a lot of old companions who are just so grumpy and just they've lost all their excitement. And to get someone like Amy who's so fresh, and it's... Oh, it's
well,
such...
she did. She kind of, I don't know.
Well, we all know.
You want to come with you and blah, blah, blah. Oh,
I think we know why she
went. Oh.
And that was another
beautiful
masterstroke, by the way. Go ahead.
You know, one of the things, too, just about that, about having, you know, the companion being that connection that the audience has with the Doctor. I mean, you're seeing that a lot. I think that's one reason why, like, even on sci-fi, where their top shows are grounded shows, which are shows where people can, you know, have that science fiction element, but it's directly – they can find something they can relate to with it. And, I mean, when you go to Stargate Universe, the character of Eli, played by David Blue, I mean, he's, you know, he's – like right there in your face of someone who is a fan more or less. And it's almost as if one of us just kind of got brought into this whole mess of being on the Destiny. I mean, just in the first episode of Stargate Universe, he's sitting in front of like a big alien gun. And what's the first thing he does? Probably the first thing I would do, which is take out my iPhone and take a picture. You know? I mean, it's just, that's what was really cool about it. And it's just one of those things that really connects you and brings you in one way or the other.
Could not agree more. On all of that. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one more thing I'd like to bring up is, mention the Time Lord mind meld that went on there to help Amy to, confront the monster and get rid of it. But then, you know, after we get rid of the monster, which was kind of easy. It was a weird virus that I can't explain to you or whatever. But then we have the big thing with the Atraxi. And they, you know, they look like a big eyeball with a snowflake Christmas ornament with the eyeball coming out of it, which I thought was pretty interesting and weird, kind of cartoony. But, it worked. It's Doctor Who. What can you do?
Not too long ago, that would have been a big eye with a Christmas ornament.
But
not too long ago.
I wonder if we'll see those on trees this year. Anyway. But they were actually going to destroy the planet. And I'm really glad that the Doctor brought up that, hey, you know what? This is a planet that is protected. You know, how are you going to destroy this? What are you doing here? And I'm glad somebody finally brought up something technical like that. Anybody know? Like it?
No,
yes?
No, this is all good. And you just reminded me of another thing. Before I address the Atraxi and him calling him back, I wanted to say, because you brought up the thing about the aliens want to blow up the planet. Now, what was Stephen? Did Stephen Moffat, was he maybe perhaps influenced by a certain Hitchhiker's Guide? Because I couldn't help.
I know,
but think
I
about,
saw that, was, that because it was 20 minutes to the Earth would destroy. I totally thought
well,
about.
Yeah, Hitchhiker. Absolutely. I can't believe I just brought this up because I haven't mentioned this yet to anybody until now. But just like how they thought at first, we have to worry about the house getting incinerated. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's not the house. It's the entire planet. The whole planet. Yeah. Hello, yeah. Hitchhikers, hitchhike. I was like,
I totally thought that, and I thought about you.
Super cool, and I thought about that too. When at the end, when the doctor takes her, and she's like, "I'm in my 90," and I was thinking, "Oh, female,
yeah,
awesome, super cool." But back to the attraction, I think it was great because Stephen Moffat, he's very economical as a storyteller. He kills three birds with one stone. Because he, you know, all in the space of 2 or 3 minutes, he got the Doctor a new costume, which, by the way, was an homage to past Doctors. This is the third Doctor who got his costume by stealing it from a hospital. That's the third time it's happened. But anyway, the Doctor got a new costume. Mm-hmm. He calls back the Atraxi. We get to have our fan wank with the flashback
proclamation.
and also all the flashback stuff with the monsters and then the doctors, of course. And at the same time, it's not just fan wank, because I think it serves a good purpose in a narrative way, because by him saying, hey, look, stop messing with this planet already, all right? We're not mucking around. The humans and the Earth are not really mucking around in the universe. Leave us alone. And I think it was kind of a way I hope I'm right when I'm reading into it. He's kind of saying, we don't need to do what we've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years, and we don't have to have this huge Earth in peril, you know, everyone's out to get the Earth. Can we just kind of push that away for now? And he does it in the story, so it works on both levels, kind of like, we're going to get away from that and move on now. See, it all just works. And so Stephen Moffat, he's great like that, because He, like I said, kills 3 or 4 birds with one stone, and he did that continually throughout the episode. That was just one of the best moments, I thought.
So are you saying that he actually said F you to everything that's gone past?
Not F you,
F you to the last 5 years while saying, hey, I really like this stuff from the last 5 years.
But he acknowledged it, but he gave a logical reason to say the tone's going to change, and it fits in the story. He actually, you know, it all fits. And so,
in order to have a show, somebody's going to have to threaten Earth. You know, it's going to happen every
or threaten time or threaten someone. You know, I think it's going to end up being more about Amelia than anybody thinks.
Oh,
you know, it's going to be more about her. Well, did you catch on the scanner the crack?
Yes.
Yeah. So the crack wasn't necessarily in the wall. It might be around.
Oh, yes. So
the creature spoke about the cracks of the universe, and and that's definitely the bad wolf, the Torchwood, the Vote Saxon, the Four Nox. Now we got the crack, and the silence is falling.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I like that. I think that
is the Torchwood crack, or is it? No,
that's not what I meant. No. This is a
new... No, but I'm asking. It's a new crack, and it's not the Torchwood.
No,
crack.
I don't think it's the Rift.
No. Okay. It's not the Rift. It's definitely not the... But I mean, they're
it's the plumber's crack.
It's the plumber's crack. It's a photographer's crack, and anybody who saw Actor Who Confidential will get that. But anyways, I think it's more that the cracks in reality are, you know, that is the rift in Torchwood, are also have physical nexi, and it may or may not be Amy or Amelia or whatever, because it's, you know, I don't know, it might be something about that, might not be, but it, I think that is one of the cracks, and that's what the cracks deal with. Okay. And there might have been something that cracked things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go on final thoughts, Will, since we're talking. What do you got with your final thoughts there on this overhaul thing? What are you thinking?
Watch this space. Because it's going to get amazingly cool in about every week from now on. I love Stephen Moffat. I'm a fan of Matt Smith. I like these guys. I like how they work together. I like the innovations. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there. You know, like the TARDIS and the, I mean, they used stop motion animation. you know, stop animation to do the Doctor Who view of the view of what he saw, quote unquote. And they did that really cool stuff. And there's a lot of interesting things happening. And I just, I like the fact that they're just, oh, well, let's try everything. And I like that they're doing it that way. I enjoy that. And I can say, watch this space. It's gonna get neat.
Eric, final thoughts.
You know, like I said earlier, it's been quite a gap since for me personally, there was some good quality Doctor Who. It's been almost, you know, it's a year and a half, nearly 2 years since. And in that absence of good Who for me, you know, other shows, my other favorite shows have become so huge to me, so compelling, like Lost, Fringe, Caprica, and those shows, you know, they were, all my attention was focused on them and loving those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad now, because suddenly Doctor Who came back and has become so much more relevant to me again, you know, after so long. And I mean, here I was just lost in within Lost and all that other stuff, but Doctor Who's back and I care about it so much again. I'm so into it. So excited. It's going to be so great.
You get to be a kid again.
Absolutely. I couldn't be happier right now about Doctor Who and just everything about it. This is going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome year. It's going to be an awesome season.
Cool. Ooh. Michael, final thoughts.
Doctor Who's back? Oh, sorry.
Behave.
Mike, we know where you live, just so you know.
I don't know. It's you know, I like the first episode. I like the tease. I'm still reserving some judgment. I was, you know, it was funny because I mentioned this on Twitter that it's just going through this transition from David Tennant to Matt Smith is now I felt like how a lot of people used to tell me when they changed from Tom Baker to who was it, Peter Davison?
Peter Davison.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just I never really understood that before, and I was never that big of a fan of the classic Doctor Who, so seeing the new one and seeing and Christopher Eccleston wasn't around long enough for anybody to really feel a connection to.
Shut your mouth,
him.
I was connected to him.
No, but it's true, though, because, I mean, yeah, we all wish there was more Christopher Eccleston. I really wish his tenure was longer.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and it was, the show was still so young for me. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, I will miss it, but it's like Earth Final Conflict. We changed the star there. And,
oh, God.
The star, they change the point of that show every season.
That was three times. Well, it was three times.
Actually, no, you got that wrong. They changed it every three episodes.
I mean, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, you're right. Andromeda, they changed every
oh, God.
Yeah. But I love, and by the way, I loved the new inside of the TARDIS. I always thought that the way the TARDIS looked before was so boring, so simple. And it really wasn't all that interesting. I love the new interior of the TARDIS.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's a typewriter.
It's like, you know what it's like? It's like an Escher drawing.
Oh, yeah.
It looks kind of, it has kind of that it's coming from that.
Well, yeah, I see the Escher, but I also see the, what is it? Is it Van Gogh with the melting clocks? Sorry. Exactly. Sorry. Because
I saw that too.
Yeah, there's a lot of oozing and melting, you know, going on.
I see that. I love the fact that every control on the system is a found object. You know, the gears and the typewriter and all that. And then they have the spire going up and down. They were talking again on Doctor Who Confidential. I really recommend that if you like this episode, that they actually had somebody blow that in glass. That's an actual piece of glass.
Yeah, I noticed that.
At that size. I'm like, oh, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's really cool. It's really cool.
I can't wait.
That's a job that really blows. I don't know.
I can't wait till we get to see the library and or the swimming pool again. That has been seen
before.
Into the TARDIS now. I know it's going to happen. It's going to be awesome.
I want to see the pool. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. I want to see the pool in the library.
Okay, guys.
What are we, buying a house?
It's dimensionally transcendental.
Basement.
Please.
All right, guys, thank you for joining Sci-Fi Party Line. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. That is 773-336-2686. God, I can't even remember that every week. We are on Twitter at Sci-Fi Party Line, and leave your comments at scifipartyline.com. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
There's a whole world in here, just like you said. It's all true. I thought, well, I started to think that maybe you were just like a madman with a box.
Amy Pond, there's something you better understand about me, because it's important. And one day, your life may depend on it. I am definitely a madman with a box.
My chameleon circuit hasn't worked since 1963, but the doctor won't give up on me.
That was a lot more entertaining than, you know, than most shows you hear, so.
Thank you.